2 Timothy chapter 2, and we left off in verse number 3. Now, I realize Sunday night might have been a little bit rough. When you talk about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that's a little bit of a rough message for today's soft-handed Christians. But it's a needed message because in the last days, and Paul's getting ready to set him up for the last days, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also in the last days, what? Perilous times shall come. He's not just talking about people in that situation that are unsaved. That's saved people from false doctrine and everything else. So you know why he says you need endurance as a soldier? Because in the last days, many give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Many are turned into fables. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The time will come, verse 3, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. See that? Don't preach anymore, preacher. Don't stick, don't jab, don't be rough. Give us something soft. Give us something easy. Teach us fables. Tell us a Mickey Mouse story. You know, tell us, let it go, let it snow, let it row, whatever, you know. Let's be frozen or something like that. By the way, they got the storyline, the tagline for that movie. They got it from Independent Baptist Church. Frozen. Some of you aren't laughing. You say, well, it's kind of hard to laugh when you're frozen. Chapter 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the... In other words, if you're going to war, you can't do it and entangle yourself in this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive how? Brother Sam, you pray, would you please, and ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. And I want you to know I appreciate you being here on a Wednesday night. I realize people are busy and you live in a day and time now where it's difficult sometimes. People don't understand. The world sometimes catches up with you and you have responsibilities. I never judge your spirituality by whether you come to church or not, but I will say this, it will have an impact when you don't come. I believe that. I think God gave you a reason to be here. So when you make the effort to be here, I think God blesses it. Let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, notice who it is that you're pleasing in your service, not because of what other people do. And look at verse number 4. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The purpose for you doing anything is because it pleases God. The Bible says you were created for his pleasure. I wonder sometimes when I read that passage, I wonder to myself, how much pleasure does he get out of me? You ever ask yourself that? You say, well, preacher, you're just down on yourself all the time. You're just down on other. Yeah, but it's a realistic view of myself because I do pretty good when I'm sleeping. You know, if I happen to be in the pulpit, I do pretty good when I'm in the pulpit. I really do. I do pretty good when I'm studying for the most part. I really do because I got my mind in the right place. But I wonder sometimes how much pleasure does he get out of what I do? I wonder how often he looks at me and says, well, you know, if there he is, there he is. But it's to be pleasing to him. It's not to do it for recognition. It's not to do it for appreciation or any of those other things. Look in verse number 5. This is a difficult thing for a lot of Christians. Whatever you have to do to get them is fine to do. Is that what it says? Whatever you have to do to win them, go ahead and do it. No. Just better to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. Isn't that the modern theology nowadays? Is that, well, we can kind of walk that line and we can kind of... No, he said, no man that striveth for the mastery, he must strive how? That means there's a right way and a wrong way. That means this hoodoo tricks, this smoke and mirrors, this bait and switch and stuff like that, that means you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do what God told you to do. That applies in business. That applies for you as a Christian. That applies in your marriage. That applies with your mom and dad. That applies with your school teachers. That applies with the policeman on the street. That applies across all of life, not just in church, striving lawfully. Am I doing what's right to do? Oh, you got to always be telling them I'm doing something wrong. Why does that bother you? You know what that Bible says in Romans 13? In Romans 13, he tells you that you don't have to fear the guy with the sword. You don't have to fear the policeman behind you with the bubble gum machine going or the Visibar going or whatever. You say, what? Just pull over and get out of the way. You say, why? You weren't speeding. What's the problem? Right. He said, you don't have to be afraid of that. Why are you afraid of that? Guilty conscience. That's why. Amen. And that's why, as a man called today, was asking some questions about the church. He's thinking about moving and he's looking for a church. And he said, you know, well, what Bible do you preach? And I said, well, we preach the King James Bible. He said, well, you're rare. I said, okay, well, you know, you're asking me questions, but that, I said, but we don't just preach it and we don't just use it. We believe it. But you got to strive lawfully. Wouldn't it have been better to say, well, I don't know, what version do you use? Well, they're all good, you know. I mean, if you look at the manuscripts, there's some questionable things about certain things. And, you know, we got a whole lot of things for your kids. If you've got kids, got a great youth program here and that kind of a thing here. If you got little PDABs, we got some good Sunday school classes and things for them. We have a great youth camp and things like that along the way. And you can come in on Sunday, you can get coffee and donuts and that kind of deal. And boy, we got a music program and you wouldn't believe how good it is. I mean, boy, it really gets jumping. It really gets rocking. It really does this and that and the other. You're lying.
Amen.
That's a bait and switch.
Right.
And then the guy walks in the door and says, are you the guy I called? You're nothing at all like you said you were. You know what he says? He said, there's a right way to do things. I'm not sure what happened. I wrote down enough here that many people now in the church today don't understand that doing things unlawfully doesn't just mean as far as what state statutes and federal laws are.
Right.
It's doing things unlawfully.
Amen.
The book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth. That's in Joshua chapter number 1. That book right there is called the book of the law. That doesn't just mean Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus. That means the things that I've been going over now for over a year in Pauline epistles that said a Christian is supposed to do. You know what I'm finding now? I'm finding Christians that don't strive lawfully. There are all kind of justifications for doing what they're doing. They've become some of the greatest con artists I've ever met in my life. They now all of a sudden, when the Bible says this, they say, well, I know what it says, but I don't think that's what it really means. He said, strive lawfully. Isn't that what he says? Let me ask you a question. Where I go, does it matter or not? I believe it does. You say, why? What I support, does it matter or not? I believe it does. If I'm going to strive lawfully, how can I play the world's game and then come to church and call myself a Christian? I didn't say you couldn't be saved. If I'm going to go clubbing on Friday and Saturday night and then I come in here with my eyes bloodshot and my stomach turned upside down and my head's buzzing and stuff like that and wishing he would shut up. I've been out at the tattoo parlor and I've been smoking crack and I've been smoking dope and blowing blunts and stuff like that, having me a good time partying with my church friends, of course. I mean, you know, I mean, they're good Christian people. They don't do some of the things that other people do. I mean, you know, they might play little cards here and there, but not for any big money, just bottle caps and stuff like that and play the scratch off every now and then. I mean, but they don't go run the puppies or anything like that or play the horses or play the football betting pool or they don't do anything like that.
Yep, come on.
I said strive lawfully. How come it is that one side of the fence it's okay to do it and then you come on this side of the fence and then you get upset with the preacher saying that ain't the right thing to do. That's not right for you to do as a Christian. Well, preacher, I got liberty. Only use not that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. How come it is that there's this two-facedness going on nowadays? And that Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3, he said, I'll spew you out. That's lukewarm Christians. Now I realize you can't lose your salvation, and I know where the thing fits doctrinally, dispensationally. I know where the thing fits in the tribulation period. You can't get spewed out. But you know what you want to miss out on, that you don't want to miss there, is this lukewarm fence-riding Christianity that says, you know, well, I don't believe you got to go to church all the time. I don't believe you got to read your Bible. I don't believe it's even wrong to go to the wrong places. I mean, after all, preacher, you know, a church is church. What would you think if your church or your preacher went to a church of God? I mean, just to preach a sermon, you know. You say it wouldn't be that big of a deal? Really? How about a Catholic church? Where would you draw the line? Be all right to go to the Muslim church? I've heard preachers say that. I'd go anywhere where God opened the door. I wouldn't. Every open door is not an opportunity. I wouldn't go down there. You say, why? They're not interested in hearing what I have to say anyway. If they were, they'd be in the Baptist church tonight. You go, well, you know, I don't want to make a choice. See, you need to get off the fence. Some of you just too, see, endure hardness, endurance. You got to have it. You say, you got to make some choices. You say, why? All friends are not good friends. My Lord, have mercy on my soul. You parents and grandparents ought to know that. You ought to be able to look at certain guys and girls and go, they ain't right. You have the right because of what's going on. I know this is so unpopular. You say, well, but preacher, you just don't understand. Okay. He says, strive lawfully.
Right.
Kids, you know what that Bible says? Obey your parents that your days may be long upon the earth. Now, is it in the Bible or not?
It is.
Well, I don't believe the Bible. I'm not going to do the Bible. You believed it for salvation.
Right.
Ma'am, what does it say about your household? Ma'am, what does it say about your household? It says that the husband's the ruler of the household and he shall have the rule over you, Genesis 3, if I'm correct. I believe it says in Ephesians chapter number 5, wives, submit yourselves to who? To who? Your own husband, not the preacher.
Right.
I got one.
Amen.
That means you don't walk out of here and tell your husband, well, the preacher said.
Right.
Nuh-uh, your own husband.
Right.
I might have something right, he don't, but I've been at it for 40 years. You're mighty quiet right there. What's that Bible say to you about kids? What's that Bible tell you you're supposed to do? You say you're striving lawfully? Really? You're doing what mom and daddy said to do? Even when they say you can't go, you can't do, you can't be, you can't... You doing what mom and dad said, are you? This thing fits across the board. If you're saved, this thing fits you.
Amen.
So he ain't talking to me. I'm talking to everybody that's saved. It does fit you.
Amen.
That means if God tells you to do something, you have to do it no matter whether anybody else does it or not. One thing I admire about that old preacher was is he always said this statement, and he lived up to it. If my wife says one thing and that book says another, that book's right, my wife is wrong. And he said the same thing, if my own mother said one thing and that book said something else, my mother's wrong. You know where you are today? You use that Bible as an opportunity to mash other people down, but when God comes to mash you down with it, you can't take the heat. The Lord says, you're going to strive lawfully? How about you apply it to yourself instead of always being so good at applying it to everybody else? I got a whole list of a whole bunch of things. I could preach on that thing for probably the better part of an hour. Look, if you will, please, if you will, Matthew chapter number 10. Winning isn't everything. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
We all say that because we're losers. But you know what he tries to tell you? He tries to tell you that the way you get a cross, the way you get a crown is you have to have a what?
Cross.
A cross. You want to lose the crown, you don't take the cross. Paul says in Hebrews chapter number 12, he said, let us run the race that is so easily set before and lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. You know what he says in Romans chapter number 12? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body, a living... your body, not just the engine, your body, not just your brain, your body. What do you use your body for? Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet, your body. A living sacrifice, holding yourself unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Well, my goodness, preacher. I mean, you know, the Catholics, they go on Sunday, and if they don't make it on Sunday, they can make up a mass. You know, they can pull through the drive-thru and, you know, tic-tac-throw three in a row, drink a little grape juice and throw back a wafer, and they're good to go. And they can go and dress how they want and live how they want and do what they want to do. Is that you? Well, the Muslims say, well, the charismatics say, is that you?
Yes, sir.
You can't use them as your measuring stick. What's the Bible say? You know what the Bible says? It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more so such as you see the day approaching.
Yes.
Is that your attitude toward it, or is there always something else more important?
Amen.
It's become habitual for people in the last days. They're looking for something to be doing when they ought to be doing what God wants them to do. And they want to go on some trip or something so that they can get caught up in the fanfare or have a big parade because they went on a mission trip and, you know, 50 people got saved in Africa and they were there and you couldn't find them with a flashlight and a, you know, on a Sunday.
Amen.
You say, what am I talking about? Striving lawfully. You expect God to bless you and you don't do it right? You think God blesses unrighteous acts? Where do you get that? You want God to bless you? Do right.
Amen.
You ever wonder why you're so worried about the gossipers and the slanderers around? You ever think about this? Maybe God's trying to show you yourself. You ever wonder why so many people talk about you? Can I tell you why? Because you're always talking about other people.
That's good.
Thank you, Brother Broussard. Everybody else got lockjaw. I guess frozen. The little guy came along and let it go. Don't give her your balloons for the party. You get it in a second. What happened to the balloons at the party? Let it go. Look at verse 39, Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall what?
Lose it.
And he that loseth his life, but watch it, for my sake, shall what? Philippians chapter number 3. Paul's fixing to make a comparison here in just a second. You know what he's going to do? He's going to talk about honesty, and he's going to use athletics to make his point. You say, why? I can't stand a cheater. You know what he's fixing to say? How would you like to be in a race with somebody and they trip you along the way? Galatians 5, they hinder you. You're doping so you can pedal faster. How would you like to compete against somebody like that who has the edge? Like now they have these, they claim to be women, but they're all male, masculine. They got somebody fixing to compete in the Olympics or for the Olympic trials, and they say his gender is male, but he's with the females. How do you even do that? But because he thinks he's a female. You think he might have an unfair advantage? That guy's so pitiful, he can't win a race with his own people, with his own gender, so he's going to go compete with them. That'd be like you going down and competing with sixth graders. I won the gold. Well, who did you compete against?
Amen.
Big sixth graders. Wow. But I won the gold. What does that guy have if he wins the gold? What does he have? I competed in the Olympics and I won the gold. And everybody's going to go, I guess you did. You're running against women. You're a man.
Right.
You out-power lifted them. Really? No kidding. I don't even understand that. But you know what I see now with us as Christians? Yeah, I know, but a little bit. Is it right? Then don't do it. Paul said, all things are lawful for me. That's it, preacher. I can do whatever I want to do. But you need the rest of the verse. But all things are not expedient. I'll not be brought under the power of any. So, oh man, you're preaching standards. Life is standards, ladies and gentlemen. Look, let me show you. My wife preaches standards to me every day. You see how she do that? She expects me to be at the house when I'm in town. And when I'm out of town, she expects to know where I'm at and make sure there ain't nobody in the room with me unless it's one of these boys traveling. You say, what's that? Standards. You say, what is it? It's called a marriage vow. I better not come home and find Jody in my house. You say, why? First one to go will be her. Special plans for Jody. Amen. She never knows when I might show up. But if you're not doing anything wrong, why would you be worried about it?
Right.
I never know when the rapture is going to happen. So, unless you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. I hope some people watching tonight don't come on Wednesday night. Bam! You know, it's like... Sorry, rapture drill. Y'all are like, oh my Lord, I thought it was real. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. I'm trying to hurry. I know we started a little bit late, but bear with me. Paul says this, verse 7, the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Notice loss for who? Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse number 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sovereign, being made conformable to his death. You know what Paul says? He comes on down here now. He's fixing to make it about an athlete here. And he says, by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect. I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark and the high calling of God. Paul says over there in chapter number 9, you know what he says? He said, I strive not as one that beateth the air. I make it count. Paul obviously went to athletic events. He said, they strive for a crown here. You strive for an eternal crown. But no man can strive for the mastery unless he does it lawfully. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and come back over to Hebrews 12. That's it. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, if you don't want the cross, then don't expect the crown. If you don't want the cross, don't expect the crown. You say, why? Not many preachers, not because I'm the poster child for it, not many preachers preach that. Let me tell you why. It's negative. It's negative. Let me ask you a question. This will be stupid. You've heard it a million times. The old preacher used to say it all the time. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Is that true or not?
Yes, sir.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That means the positive is outweighed by just a thimbleful of the negative, right? But I bet you if you thought the coronavirus was coming over here, you'd take a shot to prevent it if you thought it'd kill you. Ounce of prevention. Anybody want to go to Wuhan, China right now? Well, why not? I mean, you're protected, washed in the blood, right? So, but preacher, that's negative. You shouldn't talk about where people live. Well, you don't live there, stupid.
Right.
People are dying.
Right.
They send ovens over there. Ovens are not for making cinnamon rolls. Not that burn at 6,000 degrees.
Right.
Ask Hitler. He knows. Yep. See, how do you know that? I read. I don't read conspiratorial magazines. I read. They ordered them from other places in the world. You say, why? I don't know. Must be something stacking up. Must not be enough ground to put them in, I guess. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. I ain't going over there to find out. Why are you needing all those incinerators?
Right.
It's not to do without to do away with medical waste. So, well, that's so negative. That's so negative. See, you've been raised in a positive world where all you think is everything is rainbows, lollipops, and unicorns when you know it's falling down all around you. You don't have to turn on the radio for 15 minutes or look at something on television, and you can see this stuff now that it's accepted as complete norm. Just a few years ago, would have been considered vile and nasty and filthy. Queers walking down the street and hugged up, and boys and girls hugged up, and people are like, the church and all that stuff doing God only knows what nowadays. And people are like, well, you know, it's just how they are nowadays. Is that how you are?
No.
You ain't supposed to be. You say that it don't really make no difference. It does make a difference. I'll tell you this. It makes a difference who you hang out with.
Amen.
You say, what? I can tell a lot about you by who you do business with.
Yeah.
We used to watch people like that back in the day when dinosaurs still roamed upon the earth right after Noah got off the ark. We used to watch people. Known associates tell you a lot about the person.
Sure.
I'm not sure why it is that Christians nowadays, a lot of them are more comfortable around worldly people than they are in church. Unless you must have some worldly habits. I didn't say you weren't saved.
Right.
You'd be surprised what comes across a text message or an email and somebody, oops, I didn't mean to send that to you. And, well, the Holy Spirit meant me to get it.
Well,
wow. Well, isn't that interesting? And then you're going to sing a special on Sunday. I'm just saying, when the judgment comes, Ezekiel 9, we were there earlier, you know what the Lord said? You can go ahead and start at the house of God. Because God expects more out of us than He does other people. I know it's negative. I know it's harsh. Preacher, that's why nobody comes to this church, because you just all the time like that. You won't be glad one day I told you the truth.
Amen.
It's an ounce of prevention.
Right.
It's better than you being stupid. You think the world treats you better than the Lord does? Help yourself. Turn you out. Have at it. Enjoy yourself. See you later. Hope you make it back from the far country. If not, you'll be another statistic. Still saved, going to heaven. Boy, didn't you have the time of your life. Yeah, but eternity's going to be rough on you.
Amen.
You're going to be saved, and that's it. For eternity. Boy, what a blessing. What'd you do for the Lord? I had a great time living for me. You don't have your eye on the prize. You've had a couple of folks saved around here lately because your doors were open. You ever think about that? You've supported missionaries out of this church for years. They're getting people saved and getting churches built. You ever think about that? You ever think about why you're here? You say, it's just to feed the brethren. No, man, it's to be a beacon light in this community. To see people get saved. To see Christians have a place to come eat. A fellow said to me, he said, I don't know why you're bothering to build a building and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, we're kind of running out of space. He goes, I've watched your services. You ain't that tight. I said, well, that may be true. I said, I appreciate that. I understand it. He goes, what is this? If you build it, they'll come theology. I said, listen, brother, you do whatever the Lord tells you to do. But I said, there's a little bit of something going on here that you might not recognize. Maybe it's God putting me to the test to find out if I build it, whether they come or not. Maybe he just wants to find out if I'll do what he says to do, and he's going to drop me in my tracks and let somebody else pick it. I have no idea. I said, but brother, I don't know what it is with that attitude that you have. He goes, the church is in the gleanings. I said, well, I'm sorry yours is. I said, we're getting to see people saved. I said, man, we have a hootenanny at our church. We have a good time, you know. Why are you throwing a blanket on me? It ain't coming out of your pocket. You mean, what you worried about it for? You know. Well, if I was, well, you ain't. If he was here, I can tell you it wouldn't be long. Y'all folks would be made a speed bump. I'm just saying. Isn't that kind of the concept today? It's more worldly than it is heavenly. And isn't the thought more along the lines of what's going to be good for me tomorrow, not what's going to be good for me in eternity? Let me help you with just a couple things here, and we'll try to close it down. Verse number one, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, meaning we see these individuals who've lived the way they've lived, not that they're watching you, although that's a good song. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, individually, personally, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, wait a minute, it cost him something, endured what? The cross, despising the same, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction, that's opposition, of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. My son, he says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know what he just said in the passage? He said, of all the people that shouldn't have suffered, the one came down here that didn't deserve, he suffered because it was crossed before the throne. Well, that ties in with all the things that Paul's been teaching us throughout the Pauline epistles about suffering if we're going to reign. And now it begins to make more sense to me that when it comes to striving lawfully, it is similar to that of an athlete, that if I'm lining up on the line, I can't jump up over the line, or I can't take an unfair advantage, or I can't compete unlawfully. I can't break the rules in order to win the contest. He said, because then when you win the contest, it doesn't matter because it's tarnished already because you did something wrong to get that. So you know what he says, in business, it doesn't matter if you're a multi-billionaire if you didn't get it lawfully. It don't matter how. Do you realize how much money the mafia gave to the Catholic Church and still does? Some of you look shocked. The majority of them are Catholic, and they take care of the priest. You say, why? Because the priest is the one that knows all the stuff in the confessional, and it's easy for him to hook people up. Because the priest comes and says, yeah, so-and-so came in and said they're fixing to do this, and they asked for special prayers for so-and-so, and the next thing you know, the guy's got a .22 in the back of his skull. There's a motive behind that thing. Do you realize how much money has been funneled through the church going all the way back? Yeah. It doesn't make any difference. You know, you're the big donor in the church and stuff like that. The Lord looks down there and says, well, the devil's had it long enough. I'm going to go ahead and use it, but don't think you're going to buy your way into heaven or buy your way into my good graces because you did unlawful things to get the money you got. Well, the money perished with you, Judas. God don't need your money like that. You got a guilty conscience about it. I can tell by how you give. You're always hedging that thing a little bit. You're suspicious. You know why you're suspicious? Because you're a con man. And you think people are doing with money what you do with money. Mighty quiet right there. I can tell you right off the bat, if a man will lie to you, he'll kill you. And if he'll lie to you, he'll steal from you. And if he'll lie to you and lie to God, he thinks nothing like Achan of taking a little bit for himself and putting it in his household and burying it and thinking nobody's ever going to know. Until one day that chicken comes home to roost on his and says, that's the guy. And then the whole family suffers because he's doing things under the table, striving lawfully. You say, well, you're just talking monetarily. No, that has to do with even getting a position in church. Right. You know, applying political pressure because you think so-and-so should be in such and such a position. You say that don't happen. They used to call it, where I came from, they call it nepotism and then brown nosing and that kind of a thing where you sucked up and played the game and tried to play the game. You didn't get promoted on merit. You got promoted because of who you knew. Right. It bothers you, don't it? Funny how it's crept into the church. Maybe not this church, but, you know, when you sing and when you play and what you're given the permission to do. And does anybody know at all what I'm talking about? You're like, yeah, man, I came up around that stuff. Deacon board putting pressure on the preacher to put the banker in the situation because, you know, good for business. Preacher, go on down there and talk to so-and-so at the bank and they'll give you whatever loan you need. And by the way, we need him handling the money in the church. You know, he's the banker. You say, come on, man. No, I'm telling you a straight up what I know for a fact. Never happened here. You say, why? We don't handle it like that. Some of you worry me. You say, why? Because you don't strive lawfully in your regular life outside of the church. You think that everybody in the church is as crooked as you are. I get bothered by that. The reason some of you struggle with your wife or your husband is because you think they're as unfaithful as you are. Even if it's not literally physically, it's where your brain's at, boys. Well, getting a little quiet. I'm just talking about striving lawfully. Amen. And then you wonder why your kid's doing what they're doing. Amen. Amen. I see you cut corners in the adult world, and that's okay. But when the kid cuts the corners in the school world,
right.
You're ready to tighten the reins down.
Right.
Really? Really? If you cut the corners in the business world, you know, for the upper echelon, but them employees, they got to pay the price, don't they? Boy, they got to toe the line, don't they? Got to check every receipt. Make sure they're doing all they're supposed to be doing right because they spent 10 cents more at lunchtime. You taking people over to the big steakhouse and you're upset about them going to McDonald's, whether or not it was a real write-off or not.
Yeah, amen.
Striving lawfully. Yep. Striving lawfully. You know, pulling little things. They caught some folks here not long ago. I'll get to this here in just a second. And it was some people in Hollywood, which is just a debacle in and of itself. What debauchery flies out there. People act like they were shocked. Were these people that got millions of dollars are making phone calls to the universities and paying huge amounts of money to have their kids put on the rolls to go to college. I've known Baptists to do that. Just not those schools. Oh, wait a minute. Those were boosters for the football team. That's different.
Sure. There we go. Yeah.
Striving lawfully. So, well, preacher, we're just trying to give them the best opportunity. Why don't you let them earn it?
Amen.
You ever think this might be strange to you? I don't know. Maybe the Lord doesn't want you to go to Yale. Maybe he wants you to go to Podunk USA because all Yale will do is blow your head up and make you think you're something you're not. Maybe you need to be at Podunk to get down in the dirt where you can really find out about yourself. You ever realize God might have a reason for not doing it that way? You ever think that sometimes God doesn't want your hind end sitting in the fanciest car in the world? You might need to drive a Volkswagen with no floor in it so that you'll appreciate the one when you do get it? You ever think about that? You ever consider stuff like that? Why it is that you go through the stuff? You know, well, isn't there a way to shortcut it? Isn't there a way to do it? Sure there is. At 25% interest, the banks went around. You know what they did? They said, we got a way to do that. They knew good and well when you went in there, and you knew it too. Some people that are under the sound of my voice, you knew when you went in there you were buying more house than you could afford. And you knew it. But the bank gave you the money, so... And the next thing you know, the balloon comes due. And you, what's the problem? You mean reputation ran out on you? You mean all of a sudden, you know, all of your great business savvy fell at your feet? Because somebody was stupid enough to earn you, to give you the money and let you think you had it for a few years and then called you in on it?
Right.
And then your credit history looks like a train wreck? Striving lawfully. That's what I'm talking about. Striving lawfully. I wonder sometimes if you got in heaven by your credit report, how well you'd do. Preacher, everybody has trouble. Shut up. I understand that. It's when you put yourself in the situation because you did something wrong. I read a book one time, and I can't find it anywhere in my library, and I read it, and it's a great book, and the book is called How to Con a Con. You know what he says? The most definitive thing in the whole book, he said the only way that you can con somebody is you have to understand you're dealing with somebody who is a con at heart. That's a guy who was a professional con artist. He said the only people I conned were people that were already cons. You think you're getting something for nothing. Pretty good preaching or instruction in righteousness. You say what? The Lord's watching everything you do. If you, the old preacher used to say, if you'll steal a paper clip, you'd steal $50,000 if you're given your opportunity.
Right.
Oh, well, preacher, it's just not the same thing. That's funny how you are. You don't mind stealing people's answers off the paper, do you, to get past a test? Yeah, boy, big scandals back in the day, big cheating scandals and stuff like that back in the day where they found out people are getting given out the answers and paying for the answers. And, well, preacher, what difference does it make? Well, now you got a sheepskin, it ain't worth nothing. You didn't earn anything.
Right.
You paid for it.
Right.
Mom and daddy just put up $500,000 and you got a sheepskin. Now you go to work and you're going to go be a lawyer or doctor and your patients die and your people wind up in jail. Why? You never learned anything in school. It was paid for you. Not you folks. I don't mean you folks. I mean the people, whoever this is for. I'm just saying it to the air because I'm sure it doesn't fit anybody here. I love the day to meet just some good, honest men and women.
Amen.
Love the Lord, believe the book, no frills, no spills, not trying to put on any shows, not shamming, not always up to something, not always trying to be something they're not, not always questioning everything everybody's doing. Because I know it. See, you got to understand what I did for so many years, that's part of what you don't know. You're outing yourself. I know about you when you're asking about everybody else. I'm thinking, man, boy, you must have a hard time looking in the mirror. And some of you fixate it. I'm talking about striving lawfully. That's why every time you see the police, you got some snide remark to make about them.
Speed trap.
That's the little box with the cord and the stick. And when you go under it, we pull the stick and the box drops down on you.
Speed trap.
Why would you worry about it if you weren't speeding?
Right.
Or was it because you got caught and you're bitter about it? And you're not thinking, you know what, maybe because of that
speed trap,
maybe I'll slow down and keep from killing myself. Could it be that? Or could it be that you know somebody who knew somebody that got caught doing what you're doing, they got away with it, and you didn't? What makes you think they got away with it? Maybe they wound up dead and wrapped around a tree. You don't know. You're just bitter, aren't you? You got some snide remark to make about the guy that's out there who don't know you from Adam's house cat and would take a bullet for you, and you got something smart to say about that? Boy, aren't you something. You know what I wish you'd do? Run your life back about 20 years and get your hind in a police academy and go out there and let people talk about you the way you talk about them. That goes for your military too.
Yeah. Amen.
You ought to be horsewhipped. Than to talk like that about something you know nothing about. You remind me of a bunch of guys who used to come into the church I used to go to a bajillion years ago, and they walk in. This is just peacock raw tonight. Just they go to the, and they come in Sunday school. You know, well, if I was doing so and so, and he ran this play right here, and he ran the buck eye too, and he if it was so and that, and the tackle didn't pull, the guard didn't do this, and he didn't do that, and all that, and then he flipped the thing over there, and if it was me, and all that, some Monday morning quarterback and stuff. And I stopped one of them one time, you know, and I just said to him, I said, "Did you play ball in school?" He goes, "Well, you know, I played Pop Warner." I said, "Oh, Pop Warner, college and pro, yeah, kind of about the same, you know." Sitting up there acting like they know something about how to play at that kind of level and just talking. Like back in the day, you know, yeah, you smoking crack, sonny boy. You've had your head in this stinking brown paper bag with the airplane glue in it too long or something. I don't know. You've been, you know, huffing glue or something. I don't know what's wrong with people, but you know what I know about Christians? Paul puts this stuff in here for a reason. You want me to tell you why? Because of the look on some of your faces right now. Because you don't like it, because it doesn't set you up for 2 Timothy chapter 3, because rough times are coming and you ain't ready for it. You say, why? The world's going to beat you to pieces. We're going to wear you out. You know what the Lord says? If you just do things honest, you don't have to worry about it when they come looking around.
Amen.
Check it out, man. Have at it. I don't care. You got a problem with somebody? Well, they've got no business. What? Okay, what's the problem?
Right.
See? Striving lawfully. Do you strive lawfully? The Apostle Paul says it's a command for a Christian. Let me give you these things here in verse number 6. Come back if you will, please. He goes from a soldier to an athlete. What does a soldier do? Well, if a welder welds, right? Welder welds, then a soldier is sold. So that means I'm sold to a cause greater than me. That means that I'm supposed to do whatever I'm told to do. I'm supposed to keep rank. I have a whole message on that about being a good soldier, just being faithful. Just do what God tells me to do. Notice what he says in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first a partaker of the fruits. Number one, a soldier. What goes with that? Pain, suffering, hardship, self-denial, a lack of comforts, discipline, obedience, toughness, endurance, and bravery. That's just a few things I wrote down. What is an athlete? Paul says it's self-discipline. You have to train when everybody else is training. A professional athlete told me one time, he said, I asked him about how many hours he practices, and he goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I mean, how many hours do you practice? He goes, you mean my practice or team practice? I said, well, your practice. He said, my practice starts after the team practice is over. He said, everybody that's at my level practices after practice. And we don't practice what we're good at. We practice what we're bad at, so that we can get better and strengthen those things. It has to do with self-discipline, training, honesty, exertion, concentration, coordination, motivation, self-denial, dietary control. What about a farmer? He has to sweat. He has to work hard in the hot sun or in the cold weather. He has to be careful. He has to show concern. There must be prayer, anticipation, gratitude, and even faith. He can't lay in the bed, as it says in Proverbs 27, and say a little more sleep, a little more summer, a little more folding of the hand. The field don't get plowed if you don't get off your hind end and get out and do it. Paul said the husbandman must do what? First partake of the fruits, meaning you break open the ground, you eat enough to keep you going so that you can provide for other people. Preacher, why do you tell us these things? I'll tell you some more about it on Sunday, but the principle is that when you go to work for the Lord, you give Him what you're supposed to do, and He'll give you what's right when the time comes. He'll take care of you when the time comes. And so what you have to understand is that in the last days, He likens you unto a soldier or an athlete, or unlike nowadays. Nowadays, if I could paint, I would paint a modern Christian. I'd paint him without a backbone. I'd paint him like a Gumby. And I'd put feathers on his hands, whatever the soft is, like cotton or whatever. Have them big old like Mickey Mouse gloves on, you know, because he doesn't want to not only get dirty, he doesn't want to get any calluses on his hands. And then I'd have him walking around in a pristine white suit. His skin would be just as white as the suit. You couldn't hardly tell where the suit stopped and the skin started. And I'd have him walking around all the time with a surgical mask on, and he would never get his hands dirty. He'd never sweat. He'd never work. He'd never break down. He'd never humble himself. He'd just always spend his whole life staying away from everything that would require any effort on his part to be able to do anything. But then I'd have him in a smoke-filled room back on the backside, and I'd have him over here pulling out the dollar bills and saying, how much it cost me to buy the Holy Ghost? What do I have to do to look like I'm spiritual? Simon, I think thou art caught in the gall of bitterness. That's how I'd paint it. I'd have his name on the end of a pew. I'd have a memorial building to him. And I'd have him never have turned a spade of dirt in his life. Never done without a meal ever for the benefit of somebody else. And I'd never have him down laying in a mud hole, pouring down rain, having his comforts, getting his tail shot off out there. I'd have him back there going, oh, I don't do stuff like that. Send somebody else out there to protect me. What would the world be without me? Better off. Preacher, that's hard. See?
Yep.
You're a soldier. You ever look at the way they train your military nowadays? You think a lot of those people are really ready for war? Can I take my bear with me to go? When do we get ice cream? Preacher, you can't be serious. Listen, I know I am dead on, not just from the looks on your faces, but from how quiet it got. But here's what I also know. I know nowadays all it takes is just a word or a look and people walk out the door. Because of a sermon. And the world can call them everything and anything. I mean foul things. They go to work. They go to school. They don't think anything of it. Preacher gets up and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I'm out of here.
Yep, that's it.
See you later." Okay, well, he's preparing you. If you don't like this, you're not going to like what's coming in the next few weeks. You say, why? Because he's preparing you for what's coming. 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4. You want to know about the last days? I'm going to preach to you about the last days. The next few sermons are going to be about the last days. The days before the rapture of the church. You're going to get all the prophetic stuff that there is. The spirit of prophecy. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it. I'm going to tell you what it is for you. To prepare you for what's coming. But I hate to tell you, it's not going to be Shemitahs and blood moons. It's not going to be rub the genie in the bottle and poof, there he is. It won't be the coronavirus or somebody flinging a nuke over here. It won't be silver is going up and gold's through the roof because we're having an economic crash. None of that stuff affects us as Christians. But I'm going to do it. I mean, we'll probably pack the church out. Preacher's going to be prophesying. He's going to give us prophecy. I am. Out of 2 Timothy.
Right.
We don't even have to go to Revelation. Out of 2 Timothy, I'm going to prepare you for the last days. Because Paul is setting that up, setting Timothy up, and he's telling Timothy, this is what you got to do to get him ready. And you know what he tells Timothy? He said, don't hold your sword back from blood, son, because I'm telling you, there's a time coming in your day, boy, that ain't going to be nothing like what I went through, and it's your responsibility to tell them. And don't back up on it. And nowadays it's like, well, let me tell you a better way to tell them. How many ways you want me to tell them? The bridge out.
Right.
You know, some of you right now, I told a young lady this the other day, you're driving so fast you don't even see the sign out that says bridge is out. You just run right past that sign and right off the edge of the bridge. Barricades are up. That guy out there on Atlantic Boulevard. Barricades are up there. There's stinking flares on the road the troopers put out there. Rescue's there. We got a wrecker over there trying to pull this stinking Corvette that climbed up a telephone pole out there to get it down out of the way. They got these light banks lit up. I mean, you'd have to be blind as a bat not to be able to see what was going on. Guy standing up in the back of a Jeep. God wire coming down that way. People yelling, screaming, hollering, all that kind of stuff, trying to get his attention. Drove around a barricade, you know, he can't wait. It didn't turn out so well for him. So well, y'all should have done something. We tried to tell him. He just wouldn't listen. All a preacher can do is tell you. But here's what the Lord says. He that hath an ear, let him hear. What the Spirit saith to the churches. I'm going to prepare you. You're not going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and say, preacher, you didn't tell me it's going to be anything like this. My aching back, preacher. Man, that stuff in 2 Timothy 3. Good night. Now you know why you need to be a soldier. You need to be a farmer. You need to be an athlete because that's some bad stuff right there. Preacher, I had no idea I needed to be in Bible school to be prepared for that. I mean, you got false doctrine flying around. Yeah, it's last days. But who needs church? Who needs church? I mean, why do you need to know about that stuff? Because they're trying to derail you. I said I'd let you go. I apologize. I'm pretty wound up. Let's stand together and be dismissed.